Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the PBSC podcast. I'm Steve Moore here along with Mark Castleman. It's great to be with all of you today as we come at you with episode 225. Can porn slash sex addicts be habitual liars? Even about the stupid stuff. And how can they stop? How's that for a title?
Oh, man.
How's that for a title?
Yeah, that was a title for Mark over lots of years. Like, I would have been pretty ticked off if I'd read this title. I would have hit my close button and said, "You people are full of crap." And I would have
say, "Hit a little close to home."
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah, I think a lot of you can probably relate. We did receive a submission from a partner, and just to give a little quick background, she has been married to a gentleman for some time. They have four sons, who are older, and they've also been exercising recovery to some degree for a while now. He's got several months of sobriety under his belt, supposedly, according to him. He is seeing a CSAT. He's attending multiple meetings a week as far as 12-step support goes. So there are a lot of things on him that are happening. And that's just to give you a little bit of background. Then this is what she says. She, speaking about him, says, "It's just a default position, meaning lying, that he takes on everything. Whether it's about his addiction history or about nothing at all. I understand that this is part of their recovery journey, meaning for addicts, but I just can't take it anymore, and I am thinking of divorce." If they are lying about nothing, then what else are they lying about?
Yeah.
I don't want to do it anymore. It's unbearable. He is devastated, and I can't explain to me why he does it, but acknowledges that he does. Can a sex addict ever stop lying? And if so, how do they do it, and how long does it take? Because in my mind, if he doesn't stop, he is merely a relapse waiting to happen. All evidence, except for the lying about stupid things, she says in parentheses, points towards him being an absolute gold star recovery student. I keep holding on because he is so committed, but I can't waste any more time with a liar. We have four sons, too, who he is terrified of losing, and they are really angry with him as well, but want us to work it out. They just want him also to stop lying. So there is a theme here, as you can all hear, right?
Yeah.
A lot going on here in this marriage.
Yeah. And I could relate to this so much, and we have a lot to say about this in this podcast, but it isn't a situation where this guy is denying that he's lying, because you will get gaslighting where, you know, guys will deny that they're lying. They'll try to hide it, but he admits that he is. And it sounds like even he's frustrated by it and can't explain why he does it. Everyone's frustrated with the fact that this guy has a really humongous challenge with honesty, transparency, authenticity, mindfulness, right? All these kind of things that are going on. You know, so when, Steve, as you and I prepared for this, we had a big long list of bullets, but why all the lying? So why do we lie?
Mm.
You know, you and I have been perfectly honest our whole lives, so it was really hard to come up with this list of bullets.
We have never ever done this.
Yeah, the sarcasm is dripping through the microphone right now. No, this list was really easy to come up with because we both have been through, you know, years and decades of our lives that started when we were really young. About look at this guy. He's about to lose his marriage, his four sons. He's about to pretty much lose everything, and yet he just can't seem to get a handle on this not being honest part. So you have to step back and say, why? Lying must do something for you, or you wouldn't risk everything to keep doing it.
Mm.
Where does this come from?
Yeah, I think the answers to that, just like anything else when it comes to recovery, right, are pretty complex.
So
there's not really any one, you know, end all be all answer here. There's really, I think that, gosh, where do we start? Honestly, for me, where it started with me is the pain avoidant piece. I mean, if I'm just supposed to pick the biggest one in the world, right? The biggest target on our list here, right? And that in and of itself stems from lots of places, right? Ranging from shame to maybe trauma, early rejection from friends or family members, or feeling that way, right? A fear of that. There are other pieces to that rejection piece, but yeah, in not just the rejection side, but just in general, we addicts, we over time become increasingly pain avoidant because we become increasingly adept at medicating pain away. And so while others, especially in early childhood and early adulthood, are learning healthy coping skills and tools and learning how to, quote, live life on life's terms, we become progressively better at finding ways to cope in unhealthy ways, and B, becoming better at hiding it.
Yes.
Right. And so when we find, so that pattern obviously starts differently for everybody, but what that eventually culminates in is a place where we recoil, I think, from emotional discomfort, like a flame. And not only that, but then we have that double whammy of, even if we wanted to face that pain, which we are not inclined to do, we do not have the appropriate skill sets to do it.
Oh, we don't. No, and unfortunately, we learned early on. I did. I mean, we all remember the honesty is the best policy was always pounded into us. Unfortunately, in the dysfunctional world that I grew up in, I often saw absolute evidence that that was not true. Mm. Because when I did dare to be honest, there are many times where it did not work out well. Even down, you know, of course, emotional abuse and rejection, but sometimes down to physical abuse, if I told the truth. So my survival brain learned very quickly to take a different approach. And you just learned that lying kept you safe in too many ways.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, right? And it is important to note that for many of us, right, especially depending on our background, our frame of reference, it was a form of survival.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way to exist. For many of us, this was also modeled in families of origin, right? I have many people that I'm close to in my life who grew up, and there was definitely some of this in my family of origin too, where there was a real lack of adeptness about real emotional accountability and honesty, right? In my family of origin, it was rare, if ever, that people would overtly lie to one another, but we got quite good at avoiding certain topics and issues.
Mm-hmm.
That happened quite a bit, right? Lots of skirting of those and dancing around those issues. And if we would tackle them, maybe it was more on a surface approach, right?
Being very good at when something would come up, you know, really craftily diverting the attention off on another topic so that you got away from that other one, right? Lying is not just one category. There's lots and lots and lots of ways that, what would we say, that we hide ourselves from others, that we keep from being seen in our totality.
Mm.
You brought up a bullet, Steve. We become, because of our culture, obsessed with appearances. So yeah, we learned that a glossy exterior keeps our gooey centers safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
We learn to wear masks. We learn to put on facades. We learn to be what others expect us to be so that they'll be pleased with us, accept us, think that we're smart and think that we're handsome or beautiful or whatever, right? Appearance, appearance, appearance. And keeping appearances up takes us entirely away from a transparent, authentic life.
Mm.
So that goes yes. on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and part of this, there's a habitual nature to this as well, right? We're going to talk a lot. It just so happens that this topic was in line for our podcast today, but we have been addressing this issue in our Dare to Connect program for addicts, spouses, and couples quite a bit, especially today. And so we'll be making some references to that throughout the podcast today. But for many of us, one of the hardest parts about this, and I can definitely attest to this, it just became so automatic after a while. It just became subconscious, right? Especially about the stupid things. Slightly exaggerating statistics or performance, slightly minimizing things that didn't go well, right?
Embellishing stories so that you look just a little bit better when you yes. look at what happened.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Those little things. I mean, we just got so good at them that we would get in situations and it would just happen. And so for many of us who struggle with this, it does take a really thorough and exhaustive effort to, just identify these things, to say nothing of starting to change it.
Well, and if you ask me, I mean, I've talked on this podcast about how horrible it was for me to break out of this. It took literally decades of effort, right? But someone would say, well, Mark, why did you resist it so much? Well, I can tell you a lot of reasons. One is, I learned that this, as I said, kept me safe in many ways. I learned that I could, quote, control what people thought of me, control whether I suffered consequences, control. It was all about control, control, control. And I didn't want to give up control because I didn't like it when, quote, my life was out of control. I didn't like it when other people were in control. So it was very much not wanting to give up control. And I wasn't willing to face a lot of uncomfortable things that come with total honesty. I could skirt around all those and not get into tough situations with conflict and confrontation and owning my stuff, right? And the other part, and you brought this up as we prepared today, Steve, my life had been crappy enough as it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to get hurt anymore.
Yeah.
And being totally honest and totally transparent and putting myself out there just meant that the risk of more pain was just too much. So I'm a state right where I am.
Mm, yeah. Well, and I think that that's a big proponent of it. Well, and what keeps us here, right? There is that part of us that doesn't want to stop, right? There is a part of us that doesn't want to give this up. There's a part of us that doesn't want to change. We're not willing to get uncomfortable. We sometimes haven't had enough pain yet.
Mm, that's true.
But I think that the part, and when we talked about this morning in our Dare to Connect session, I really liked how Mark did not sugarcoat it this morning. he just says, you know, this really comes back to a lack of honesty in a relationship, especially in a betrayal dynamic, comes back to control.
Yes.
Right? We are trying to control perceptions, people, and outcomes.
Yes.
We don't want to play the game the way the game is played. We want to... When somebody steps out of the room, we want to move the pieces around on the board to fit our narrative.
I like to say I was the great shortcut artist. People have to do all these other things to mature and to deal with hard life and to own their stuff and to face stuff, but not Mark. I always had a shortcut.
Mm, yeah. So I
skirt around the process. Yeah. And addiction was one of those shortcuts. The instant pleasure and coping and feeling good and avoiding problems. Addiction was an instant shortcut. And so was lying.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at this list that we just talked about, minus the being obsessed with appearances and trying to keep people from looking inward, I mean, the acting out behavior and the lying behavior really are motivated by virtually the same things.
It is true.
Right. And so we have this whole list of reasons why we get into this. Now, last but I guess not least on the list, although maybe it is least on the list, tertiarily, the reality is we don't want to cause our partners pain either. The reality is I think that for most of us, that is a secondary concern. It's not our main concern, but we do care about our spouses and, you know, the fact that it, you know, that truth sometimes hurts them is part of what pushes that too.
Yeah.
So it should be mentioned.
I had legitimate, when I really got into some really good, solid recovery, there were still times when I lied about my acting out behaviors because I really legitimately did not want to hurt my wife anymore.
Yes.
I really did. Now, that too easily became really great justification for going back into old bad behaviors. I don't want to hurt her anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was a legitimate feeling that I had, to be sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. So you can see, guys, there's a long list, and the list just goes on when it comes to that. But obviously, we're not here just to talk about the reasons behind this, right? We really need to get real about the consequences of this.
Oh, boy.
Because if you're going to get serious about changing this, you have to see this for what it is. When we published our first book, The Pornography Paradox, several years back, one of us wrote a chapter, I can't remember which of us, titled something along the lines, you know, pulling off the mask, you know, and seeing your enemy for what it really is. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And that is the truth in addiction. It's definitely the truth here when it comes to this lying component. Because again, many of us have been doing this for so long, we've gotten so good at minimizing the consequences or avoiding them or lying to ourselves about the lying, so to speak, mm-hmm. that we aren't even in tune with those things. But there are real time consequences to this, and it is not just to the relationship. So let's talk about some of those. I mean, the first, and this is an important one, and we'll kind of end with an expansion on this, is it completely inhibits our ability as people to mature and to grow. As we've talked about before, not in a biological sense, but in a true emotional sense, addiction retards our ability to cope. It handicaps our capacity to be able to face life as it happens. And that disease, just like the addiction itself, is progressive, right? The longer we go on and the more the consequences continue to mount, the further and further we fall behind in our work, in our careers, in our relationships with our spouses and with our children. And the further and further behind we become, and the more and more pressure that we feel. So we find ourselves in this feedback loop of never really growing. We become more or less like Peter Pan living in Never Never Land.
Yeah.
Right. We're just existing. We're not changing or evolving.
Well, and this not being honest part that I found so much struggle with, I found myself at times in my 30s, my 40s, behaving when it came to this honesty thing the same way I did when I was, you know, 13. It was almost like I hadn't progressed any distance at all in that particular area. I was behaving just like I did when I was a teenager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. There's a huge component to that maturity piece. Another consequence, we not only stay in shame, but we continue to grow in our shame.
True.
Our capacity, now this is a whole discussion for another day, but the lens through which we see ourselves versus how we really are continues to blur more and more and more.
Yeah.
Over time, right? So we don't just stay in our shame, we grow in it.
Right, because what does shame say? I haven't made a mistake. I am a mistake. And because I am a mistake, I have to lie to protect what little self-esteem I have left.
Yes, whatever shreds of my, you know, really, frankly, my emotional existence I'm hanging on to.
Mm-hmm.
We stay disconnected from others.
Oh, so true.
Sharing, dispensing, and receiving information from one another, guys, is the definition of connection. If the information we are sharing and or receiving with others is tainted or dishonest, it by definition taints the connection. There is no way to maintain connection in an authentic way with another person through inauthentic means.
Right. Yeah, we talk about intimacy. Into me, you see. Well, if I've got the whole way that I'm allowing you to see me completely barricaded and full of all sorts of deceptions and masks and facades, then I'm not letting you see the whole of me. Therefore, we cannot have intimacy.
Yeah.
I'm controlling what the little pieces and parts you see and trying to control your perceptions and the outcomes. There's no way that I can be intimate and connected to others while I'm doing that.
Yep. Absolutely. 100% true. The relationships that we are in, and we're talking about the most intimate relationships of here specifically, meaning with children and with our spouse, they continue to languish and diminish as a result.
Yeah.
You all have heard Mark and I say this more than once on the podcast, and you will hear us say it again. At least 95% of the time, in my experience, addiction itself, acting out behaviors, are not the cause of a divorce when it happens. It's what we're talking about right here.
And I would agree.
In one way, shape, or form, we hear it from spouse after spouse after spouse. I'm living in a constant state of anxiety. I'm constantly guessing. I'm constantly hypervigilant because I do not know who the hell I am married to at any given moment. He won't let me in. He won't share the good parts with me. He won't share the bad parts with me. I have no idea who he is.
And as the person who wrote this in, she said, if he's lying about things that are kind of like nothing or just stupid things, what else is he lying about?
Yes.
When's absolutely. The shoe going to drop? When am I going to be blindsided? Right? When's the next trickle truth going to come through? Yeah. Yep. It just wreaks havoc on a relationship.
Absolutely. So guys, really, if we're getting real about this, I mean, we're just, I know this is, this might be one of those episodes where an episode of Care Bears afterwards might be in order.
It's true.
But the reality is that best case scenario, as long as we continue to perpetuate this lying and dishonesty cycle in whatever form it's showing up, be it passive, active, whatever. Best case, the relationship will not grow ever. It will not mature. It will not grow. It will not thrive. Worst case, the relationship will die. That is the reality.
Yeah.
Best case, you're stuck. Worst case, it ends. Relationships cannot be maintained without this. We can't emphasize how much it's the flower with it's like taking the flour and the sugar out of the chocolate cake. All you got is cocoa powder and butter. Like there's nothing left at this point. Right. And that's the reality. And sadly, the biggest cost, we end where we start when it comes to consequences, is that the liar themselves, they never really realize who they could have been. And this is even the saddest part. And I can attest to this, and it just makes me emotional thinking about it. Never really knowing who I really was. Because yeah. I didn't know who I really was until I stopped.
What is my authentic self? What is my...
Who the hell am I? Every yeah. addict listening to this podcast, I think to some degree or another, can resonate with at some point in time, whether it's a low point or when their wife gave them the bad news or whatever, when they hit that rock bottom, looking in the mirror at themselves, splashing some water on their face and saying, who the hell is that guy? I don't know who this is.
Yeah. And the crazy part about this, what was one of the things, Steve, that you and I were desperate? If we peel back all the layers and dig down to the deep, 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 deep core of all this stuff we've been talking about, what did we desperately want from people? Please see me and please choose me. And yet we're throwing up all these walls that prevent
the very thing we want.
The very thing we want. Someone can't choose me if I won't let them know me. Someone can't decide to be with me if I don't let them in. If I don't let myself out there. Here's me, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. Here I am. That's not possible if I stay in this dishonesty space.
Absolutely true. We are caught in a never-ending paradox, mm-hmm. like Mark just said, right? Mm-hmm. Desperate for connection, but not capable of having it.
Right.
Incapable of being able to pick it up, even if it was laid in front of us. Because in large measure, because of this.
Yeah.
And okay.
And what could I, and a last part of that about me, I desperately wanted that connection, but there was some part of me that wasn't willing to take the risks that were essential to have it.
Yeah. We're not ready for it. We're not willing yet to do what is really necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. To make that happen. Well, where do we begin with this on that fun note? Right.
Yeah, okay. That's this podcast. Thanks for tuning in. How do we begin to start down the path of honesty, transparency, authenticity? What does that look like?
Well, and this is going to be honestly kind of a brief summary of some of what was a very in-depth and awesome discussion today in Dare to Connect in our attic session on Mondays. We'll be continuing that discussion on Wednesdays with our partners.
It was deep today. It was deep, deep, deep.
Very, very deep. And if you like what you hear on the podcast, you will love Dare to Connect, guys. Get your butts in there. Like, there's no other way to say it. We want you to grow. We want you to be happy. We love and enjoy working with all of you in absentia through the podcast. But as you know, the podcast is busy and we can't give very long answers. And those long answers, there's a long time delay because there's a high demand for answers on the podcast. You could sign up for Dare to Connect today as a partner and be in a session asking questions live on Wednesday with Mark and I face to face. Think about that for a minute.
And you could do it
You
could do it for 2 weeks for free.
Yes. Come join us. Come take a look at what it's all about. Come find the benefits of that you find here and the insights from two addicts in recovery and therapists who have been there, done that, continue to do it with clients and speak from a place of years and decades of sobriety. We'd love to have you join us. You can find info and grab that free trial and get help now at daretoconnectnow.com.
Yeah.
So point number one, and this is hard, but it kind of is a segue from the last piece. We have to begin with acceptance.
Oh boy.
Okay. Understanding and seeing and examining the breadth of the disease is critical if you are going to develop an adequate treatment plan. When I am a two-time cancer survivor, in order for my doctors to come up with a real treatment plan that involved a bone marrow transplant and all the crazy stuff that I ended up doing, step number one was to figure out how bad is this really. You got to figure it out, right? And accepting and mapping that out and then coming to a place of acceptance of not just where this has gone, but where this has taken me and where it will continue to take me if I don't stop is the necessary emotional impetus to take the journey. Because unless you can connect with that, frankly, the journey, I think, in my opinion, is too hard to sustain without connecting with that.
You
have to connect with the pain to be able to connect with getting away from it.
Yeah. You got to be able to look square in your eyes in the mirror and say, here's what this has been for me.
Yes.
Yes. I've gotten into this lying habit. Here's the impact, the significance, the scope on me, my partner, my family, my life. Can I get real about that and come out of the place of denial and self, you know, self-protection and all the stuff that we do? And the big one, the big one for me, Steve, and this was huge. I had some problem accepting how huge the scope of my lying had become. I tended to self-flog a lot and take stuff on myself pretty heavily. Here's where it got really hard for me. Mark, are you willing to give up the control that this lying has given you your whole life? Controlling people's perceptions, controlling consequences, controlling outcomes, controlling the narrative. Are you willing now to give up all that control to start being a completely transparent, authentic, honest person?
Mm.
Ooh, that was a huge struggle for me. Because, I mean, even though this sounds weird, with all the bad, there were quite a few benefits I got out of lying. Can we just say that straight up? The way my brain perceived it, it accomplished a lot that my survival brain said was critical. And now things come along saying, you need to give all that up. Are you willing to just surrender all that away, Mark, and start to live as a completely transparent, authentic person? The survival brain said, let me think about that. Yeah. 10 years later, I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah. It's very true. It's so true. You hit it on the head. It's absolutely accurate. Right. And we have to start and that willingness, right, to give up that control. I mean, that can't be emphasized enough. The way that I phrase what Mark is talking about, I hit a point and it took a long time to get there. And I invite all of you to get there quicker than I did. But I just got to a point where being accepted for who I wasn't was so hollow and so fake and so just empty. Empty is a good word for it. That I'd rather just be rejected by people on my real terms for who I really was than to be accepted anymore based on the facade, based on how I arranged the pieces on the board. Right. And in order, I think, to do that, I think where you have to, because for me, that wasn't something that happened just because of pain.
No.
The other part of it was this last piece that we're going to wrap up with, which is the beginning, the practice side of this.
Yeah, and doesn't that sound crazy? Wait, you have to practice being honest?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Because there's so many pieces to it, right? On the surface, obviously, honesty just sounds like, well, that's just telling the truth. But think about all the side components to that. There's the internal recognition of being honest with self, right? There's the acceptance component of another person's reality. There's the openness to considering other people's perspective. There's practicing the pain resilience of sitting in confrontation, confronting and being confronted by another person.
I would rather have died than be in any kind of a confrontation, period.
I would agree with that. That was pretty scary for me as well. Yes. Right? The process of learning how to apologize. That sounds silly. Many of us were never taught that. Nobody did it for us.
No.
Many of us who struggle with this never were apologized to.
And
saw it modeled.
Or if we were, it wasn't genuine or sincere or loving. It had sarcasm to it. It had some sort of manipulation attached to it.
Well, sure, I did this wrong, but
right. Yep. Well, you did a bullet at the beginning, Steve. So we talk about getting into the place where I am willing to be confronted because I make a mistake or because I wasn't honest, or right? Allowing myself to be confronted. But another part of starting to travel the path of honesty, can I get into a place where I confront?
Yeah. I've got to be real with you, even when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Do I start to learn to speak my truth? One of the reasons I lied is because there were things I wanted to say to people, but I was so afraid that if I spoke my truth, it wouldn't be received well. I would be hammered down, slammed down, rejected, argued with, debated. So I just found it easier not to speak my truth. That's a part of being honest. Can you begin to confront in healthy ways?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, there's a lot tied to this, guys, right? And that practicing piece, I mean, we could talk about this all day. As we're wrapping up here, there is a journey that I would say, the last piece of, I think, this practicing is practicing the honesty with self. Learning to own your own past, right? Part of our Dare to Connect program includes a 12-step component where, in addition to the three 60-minute sessions during the week, as well as the new D2C Academy self-study courses, as if that weren't enough with all the assignments and everything, there are also support groups for both addicts and partners on Sundays in the afternoons. And right now with the guys, I just ran the group on Sunday around four-step inventories. That's what this is all about.
Yeah,
it's confronting yourself, your honest self.
You had guys in group on Sunday who were practicing honesty, didn't you?
Yes. We had guys who were owning their stuff and talking about in real time. I can just tell you because it's confidential. One guy just disclosed how his wife told him that she's done.
Mm.
And it largely has to do with what we're talking about today.
With this issue.
He's not been at the point where he's been willing to be all in consistently in various areas. And now he's facing the quote unquote outcomes of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you want real, you want authentic, you want to get in the trenches and really fix this stuff. Come join us. We'd love to have you join us. But learning how to own your own past and to process your own shame, right? You, in order to overcome, there's so much more we could say about this. And we'd love to tell you more about it in D2C because this is going to be our next topic with the guys. I can already tell. But in order to really, I think the biggest challenge in this becoming honest piece is learning to overcome the rejection component.
I agree.
Becoming comfortable in your own shoes, because as your aversion to rejection diminishes, that is what really empowers this.
Mm-hmm.
Lying ceases to become a means of just surviving, emotionally breathing another day. And we learn how to breathe on a different air supply.
Yeah.
And when we start to do that, we start to reduce that is when we can actually start having these real conversations with others as we start having them with ourselves.
And we'll kind of close on this. We could do another whole podcast or several just on the fact that what always accompanies lying or not being authentic or honest, fear.
Yep.
Fear is always a big component. It's hard for guys to hear that because we're all, you know, the macho stuff and all the stuff that goes on. It's like, wow, if I'm going to start to get quote honest, I have to start to come to grips with the fact that I have lied in the past because I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big first step in acceptance of this to begin to make progress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for being here and being with us on the podcast. As always, we appreciate your patronage. We love being with you and supporting your recovery journeys. Again, we'd invite you to come join us at Dare to Connect. You can find information about the free trial there at daretoconnectnow.com. That 2-week trial is available for everybody who has not tried it before. Come see what all the buzz is about. And as always, continue to send us things for the podcast. We know that we're backed up a couple of months. We will keep working through the submissions as we get them. So we will keep doing that and keep bringing you healing messages and components of recovery to hopefully bolster you on your recovery journey wherever you're at in it. And you can submit questions to our main podcast website, as well as search our podcasts. We have now 225 episodes, so there's quite a few. You can search the reservoir of episodes, so to speak, or the repository for past subjects by clicking on the blog link at pbscpodcast.com, as well as by submitting your submissions through the contact form at the bottom there.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Hey, appreciate all of you. We just love being with you every week. And Steve said, hope to see more of you over at D2C.
Awesome. Have a great week, everybody.
See ya.
Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.